Good morning and welcome to the KGNC Golden Spread Agribusiness News Hour. We're talking Texas corn. We've got David Gibson, the executive director of Texas Corn, joining us this morning. Mr. Gibson, did you have a great Independence Day?
Oh, yes, sir. Had fireworks, hot dogs, hamburgers, and grandkids.
That's
great. Good time.
That's it. Well, let's jump right into it. There's been a lot of stuff taking place pretty quickly, and one of the issues is the EPA. Some regulatory issues going on. Some proposals, some changes that will affect the Texas corn producer. Let's dive into that. What are some of the things that the EPA is working on, looking at, that is going to have a direct effect on you guys?
Well, one of the first and foremost things, you know, very timely at this time, is EPA has started another full review of atrazine. It's a crop protection chemical we use to control weeds in our field to keep them from stealing nutrients and water away from our crops that we grow. Mm-hmm. I've been involved with corn growers organization now for 20 years. And the first meeting I went to in D.C. with EPA was over atrazine. They've done the science. We've done all of the work, answered the questions. We've measured runoffs in Texas, up and down the Mississippi River. I've done everything they've asked, and they still keep coming back with wanting to put more restrictions on the use of that product. We don't use atrazine as much directly as a 100% use in the field, but it's part of the mixtures of many of our controls for weeds and invasive plants. And it's not just for corn, for nearly every other crop that we grow here on the High Plains and across the state of Texas. So this current push that's going on will put us in a spot that, you know, our farmers are hearing and being pushed to think about how they reduce carbon emissions by not tilling and tearing open mm-hmm. the land, mm-hmm. About doing all these things for the green revolution that's being talked about. And then we've got an agency that's right down the street from USDA and the White House and from Congress mm-hmm. that's sitting there taking away the tools that the people they're wanting to change and do a different practice. They're taking away the tools that allows them to do that. It just seems very counterproductive, David. And we, along with national corn growers, national sorghum growers, many other commodity groups, are all submitting letters, submitting comments, doing work, trying to preserve this product for our producers. It's one that really helps with the economics in the production, and one of the most reliable things we've had for well over 20 years. Mm-hmm. Other things EPA is looking at doing the same thing is chlorpyrifos. It's a insecticide that's used a lot on many of our crops. It's been around a long time. A lot of data about the safety. The science says it's safe, but we've got EPA listening to some other outside groups, again, just like on mm-hmm. atrazine, that mm-hmm. it's not safe without the science. You know, we think EPA, Environmental Protection Agency, in branch of the U.S. government, would believe science. Yeah. They fund the science, and all of a sudden, even the science that's funded through USDA Ag Research, through other research programs, that science's not good enough anymore. Mm-hmm. And it's very frustrating, you know, to us as organizations and the farmers that, you know, we keep having to revisit some of these same things over and over, David, and that's yeah. it. We're going to be, our group is having, participating in National Corn Growers Corn Congress sessions next week in Washington. We'll be meeting with the offices of most of our House members and our senators will be going to USDA and several of these other agencies, talking to folks, laying out our case once again for some of this. So kind of initially, that's one of the things we wanted to talk about. But, you know, I might transition into, you know, something we're seeing immediately with farmers, the Economic Relief Program. I've heard you talk with many of the groups. So we've got producers that are working with Farm Service Agency that's getting information from the Risk Management Agency about their losses on their farms. And we're having trouble with the data that farmers have a copy of their reports that were submitted by their crop insurance adjusters and companies, and it's not matching what's been told to FFA by RMA. The computers are talking, but they're not sending the same information that our producers have in the country.
Yeah,
and that's another issue that we're going to be addressing next week. If we've got producers that's having that problem, the more I don't necessarily need to know the extent of their issue with it, but if that's big on their farm, we'd like to know. The more we know about the numbers of people having an issue, the easier it is for us to get more traction. When we talk to USDA, whether it's the Farm Service Agency or any one of the other USDA agencies, if we got a multitude of producers that's having the same problem, it gives a lot more credence to get them to take action. If some of the agencies won't take action, that's when our congressmen can get involved and our senators and some of the committees for agriculture, which we have members on the House Ag Committee. You know, that's when they can go over to USDA and say, hey, our constituents have this trouble. We want an answer for them. If folks are having that trouble, then give us a call in our office and just let us know. I don't have to see their paperwork. I just need to know they've got a problem, their county. And that helps us as we work with members of Congress to try to fix their problem. That's a little bit about next week.
Yeah, well, Mr. Gibson, I can hear the frustration in your voice. The EPA comes out and on the atrazine subject, and really their proposal would make it so farmers couldn't use it. But then isn't this the same EPA at the start of this administration that wanted to push the carbon issue, the green issue? That was a big mile mark for them, a big postmark for them. And now they come back, they want to put this proposal to make this chemical unusable, basically, to farmers, and they have to abandon those mitigation measures that farmers have. So do you feel like you're being, you know, spoken to out of both sides of the mouth on this issue?
Well, that's exactly, you know, that's what farmers feel. They hear this talk that we want you to do these practices. We want to cut our tillage down. We want to be able to do this. You know, we want to do all this to preserve our environment. Then we get the action that was taken that would to try to encourage double cropping and maybe taking some of the CRP out early to produce more wheat and soybeans, because all of a sudden they thought they saw the grocery shelves you know, being less populated. Well, that's kind of talking two stories right there. And now we've got the Environmental Protection Agency coming out and saying, you know, we've got to change these practices and stop using these products. That the farmer says, without those products, I can't do those other things.
Yeah.
And it's like, very like who's driving the ship, you know?
Chicken in the egg, huh?
I never drove a big ship, but I got a feeling that if if three people's trying to turn it three ways, it's not going to go anywhere.
It's not going to run it too well. You're right, Mr. Gibson. Now, you were talking about you're headed up to D.C. next week, and you'll be in the room with those representatives, those congressmen, those senators that deal with some issues with Texas corn. Is there any issue that sticks out, especially we're looking at a new farm bill very soon. Is there anything you're hearing out there that is just paramount that we address now?
We are looking at that right now, David. You know, we've had our survey out. We've started tallying all of that up. We're starting our discussions. We're getting Ag and Food Policy Center to run us models of looking at what reference price increases could do, what they may cost, loan rates that farmers use. Most of ours use those only as marketing tools. If they put corn in the government loan, the farmer pays all the storage and pays all of that back to USDA. And we're looking at some of those tools. We have questions about farmers. We've got a lot of farmers that's put new land in production that have no base acres.
Yeah,
if they are farming land without base acres, they are not protected by the safety net programs of ARC or PLC. So we've got growers that are wanting us to highlight that as one of the issues. We're looking at a time where a lot of our protection for our safety net programs were built when our cost, I'll just say cost of growing a bushel of corn may have been $3.50 a bushel. And we had a program built to protect them somewhat on that, depending on their production and history.
Mm-hmm.
And now, where we're taking us $4.50 to $4.75, maybe $5 a bushel to grow it, those programs are leaving a big gap in that safety net that was built for producers. We are still getting a lot of push about the importance of crop insurance and how that is. And, of course, this year in our state, crop insurance is very important with this drought. We've got a lot of acres downstate that, and some here on the High Plains that were never, may have been planted, but we never had plants emerge due to the dry soil, dry weather. We're hearing all the way from the Rio Grande Valley up to nearly the North Texas area where corn harvest has already started. Our yields are from the good yields are less than 40% of normal.
Wow.
And that is real tough. That's due to this, you know, they've been hot and dry just like we have over here. We're seeing most of all the other crops are seeing the same type of losses. Varies a little bit depending on when they were planted and the crop, but just abnormally low production due to these drought conditions, and that's all part of what crop insurance helps cover. And then, of course, you know, over the years, as we just mentioned, DRP payments, we had the MFP payments. The whole life of this farm bill, with increased prices we had these increased costs that have gone so high, and we had the trade barriers thrown up between China and U.S. and other countries, and there was programs put in place to try to help weather that for our farmers' business, and it turned out our safety net and those type payments have actually put more money in farmers' hands than our safety net, because the safety net was built at such a low level.
Right.
So we're going to be trying to highlight how, you know, the program in theory works real good, but in practice it didn't work because the outside influences such as trade barriers, where we had the big derecho across Iowa, we've had floods, hurricanes, fires, you know, all this with different crops that's caused things that's way outside of control of that traditional Title I safety net. So we're looking at all of that and talking already with our members in Congress that serve representing our area, and especially those on the committees that will write the bill, laying that out to them, trying to show the needs we have, you know, to keep the producers producing. We constantly see on the news, hear the talk about, you know, we're going to have a food shortage.
Right.
And they got us rolling that back down to the farmer. Well, if the farmer can't pay his bills, he can't produce
food. He can't produce any food, no.
We've got to do it. And a lot of what causes a lot of our inflation, whether it be within our homes, just operating them or operating our business, is the fact transportation costs for goods has gone so high, a shortage of labor, labor increase, you know, costing more for labor, which, you know, every one of us, we're having to spend more money to do daily activities, and we all need more money. But sometimes there's not more money. You know, at a point, you run out of that money, and that's some of what we're going to be talking about. It's it's just a broad-based problem, as I hear y'all talk regularly with different groups and different people. It's not just the farm economy that's in this issue.
Yeah. It's almost a stop and start. You want the product. You want it grown in a safe way with the tools you have. And then they say, well, no, you can't use that tool anymore. We want you to change this. And what it does is add more cost on to just raising a sustainable crop. And it just, it's got to be maddening coming from your position. We all know the best steward of the land is the guy who's been generationally farming. You're going to take care of that land because it's taken care of your family for so many decades. And it's got to be frustrating to have someone come in and tell you, well, no, you got to change everything you're doing. We don't think that's going to work.
That's exactly right. Everyone, whatever business we're in, we've run them in the way that is the most sustainable.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone wants something they can pass on to their next generation.
Yeah.
They're not out there attempting to do things that's going to not leave us taken care of. We want our kids and grandkids and all to have some of the same things we do and same availabilities. And then we get these things, like I mentioned, with EPA and with other groups that just keep popping up that becomes totally counterproductive to what we know, what's been tried, and what's been proven.
That's it.
And quite interesting, David.
It is.
We'll have an interesting week in D.C. next week, I'm sure.
Well, you enjoy that trip to D.C. You have to go to texascorn.org. They have it leading off with that EPA radical atrazine look. And how it threatens key sustainability efforts. Also, the Get Involved tab, Be Heard, Affect Change. This is your chance to go to these lawmakers. Mr. Gibson is going to be up on that hill next week preaching the gospel of Texas corn. But you have a say, too. It affects you, your economy locally right here. Let them know what's going on and how these farmers are, how many hurdles do you want me to jump through? How many rings do I need to set on fire and climb over so I can produce a good, healthy product for the American public? And it's a great, great look at that. And also on texascorn.org, The High Cost of Growing Corn, a podcast they dropped. You want to listen to that. With those supply chain issues, just being able to get raw materials to farm, it is starting to get where it's not going to make a profit. And so why would a farmer or a man stay on a piece of land that's only going to drive him deeper into the ground? And that's something that is scary, because if these men and women can't make a living doing this, doggone it, they're going to find something else to do. But who's going to take their place? And that's the key issues. And Mr. Gibson, give him heck up on that hill next week.
You bet.
All right.
We're going to take the messages we've been hearing from our members and growers, and I have to say that our local congressman up here, Ronnie Jackson, is always open.
Mm-hmm.
I'd suggest when he's in the district doing meetings in your county, your area, go in and meet him. Talk to him.
Mm-hmm.
Tell him you know, I feel like the story we're telling, that's what we're hearing from farmers.
Yeah.
But it means a lot when it comes from people in Dumas, Texas, that can vote for him.
Yeah.
And when he hears from those constituents, that backs up the things we're taking. So I'd encourage our growers during August. There'll be a time during August recess. They'll really be hitting a lot of local community meetings, mm-hmm. probably in just every county in their district.
Yeah.
So wherever you're at, go talk to your congressman.
That's it.
Put a face on it. Put a face in front of them.
Yeah.
Let them know.
Let them see what it really looks like out here, and help the farmer, because when the American farm ceases to exist, America ceases to exist. And we have to be cautious and very protective of this great commodity we have. You can find more of this great information at texascorn.org. We'll see you again next week. Mr. Gibson, enjoy D.C. Be safe. And thank you, as always, for such great information.
You bet. Have a great day and a good rest of the week. Thank you.
Don't forget to tune in to the KGNC Golden Spread Agribusiness News Weekend, bright and early Saturday morning, right here. Have a great day.